Kim read a modern translation of that Luke 1 passage, but I'm going to read it to you today from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And it is Luke chapter 1, verses 47 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in accordance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I saw a meme this week that said something like, pastors have to stand up and tell and preach something that they've preached a million times that you guys have heard over and over and over again. And so many of you know this story well. You know the story of this young woman who is betrothed, engaged to Joseph. And an angel appears to her and tells her she's going to have a child. There is always trepidation and fear around an unwanted pregnancy. And yet, for Mary, somehow she comes to a point where she is excited and she finds joy in the midst of all the turmoil moving around her. And I want to say today that one of the ways that she finds joy is through the people who supported her. So what I didn't read is that this is what Mary says after she travels to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She shows up at Elizabeth's house and sees with her own eyes that not just is she pregnant, but Elizabeth is pregnant too. We didn't have email and texting. She had no idea, right? So she shows up, and there is joy, and this young girl feels this kinship, this connection that was even deeper than it was before. Because you have to imagine, who are the people that you turn to in your deepest need? They're people you're already pretty close to, right? So for Mary to go straight to Elizabeth, you know that she loves her, that she trusts her, that she's somebody she wants to be with. And yet Elizabeth is much older than Mary, past the age of bearing a child. So to see her pregnant with a baby that she has wanted for years and years and years, that is incredible, isn't it? That is amazing. It is a miracle. And so Mary shows up with Elizabeth, and the joy bubbles over. And what she thought might have been an uneasy period becomes something very different all of a sudden. She sings a song. she says these beautiful words. They just spring out of her. And it's a pretty deep song, isn't it? Can you imagine a young 14-year-old singing these words, saying these things out loud? Because Mary's not a politician, she's not a revolutionary, but all of the sudden, she's sort of become this articulate radical, a prophet, singing about a world, as Barbara Brown Taylor says, in which the last become first and the first last. It is, in many ways, a revolutionary song. In Guatemala, several years ago, well, 30 years ago, so a while ago, the government banned this part of Scripture. They said, you can't sing it. We will not allow you to read it. Because they didn't want the poor people of their country to hear the words of Mary and to rise up and do something radical. And yet, the people of Guatemala would huddle together and find Bibles, and they would share this piece of good news with one another. And in their lives that were difficult and hard, they would hear words that told them that God didn't want their children to die of hunger and disease. God didn't want their husbands and sons to disappear to war or their daughters brutalized. They found hope and joy in Mary's words. And it made their world more livable. It made their world more livable. So how do we read this passage today? Because I don't know that God is actually calling us to a violent revolution. That's not what God is doing here. But God is calling us to a revolutionary way of living. That Jesus and his birth bring something deep and serious to this world that means something. It's not just about presents under a Christmas tree or sitting around a table full of food with your family. And while those things are wonderful, there is more. So imagine Mary, a young, poor girl, pregnant, but not by her husband, living in the time of Herod, where people are suffering. Poor people and the middle class too were suffering under Herod. He taxed them relentlessly so that he could build amazing places for him to hang out and live in. The people didn't see that money. And she gets pregnant and realizes, I have to raise a baby in this world. I have to bring a child into this. And yet, those words from the angel, this deep sense of who her child is to become, overwhelms her. And she says, it's going to be okay. All will be well. All will be well. And yet Mary didn't necessarily see all of these things come true. Not completely. She saw glimpses in Jesus' ministry, times when Jesus hung out with the sinners, times when he fed 5,000, times when he healed people. And we don't see it completely either, do we? We still live in a world where there is hunger, where there are people living in war-torn and ravaged cities, where there is disease. But don't we see glimpses sometimes too? Don't we too see glimpses of when something beautiful and incredible happens? Usually because somebody has done something to make it happen. So one of my favorite mission organizations these days is a company called Preemptive Love. And so I watch what they're doing in Syria. And I watch them give jobs to women so that they can feed their families. I watch these people move into the most dangerous places in the world so that people can have food. Even if it's just MREs or things that you just put a little water in. I watch as they pay for funerals for families who have lost almost everyone. Where are the places where you are seeing Mary's song come to life? Who are the people that are living in revolutionary ways that allow us to be expectant and hope-filled and experience joy? Experience joy. Often, Christmas can be a very difficult time for many people. If you've recently lost loved one, or if you're grieving or lonely, Christmas always seems harder. And yet, Christmas is a reminder to us that Jesus came and brought joy. So I invite you this Christmas, as we start to sing our Christmas carols and songs of joy and peace, that we sing with joy just like Mary did her song. Then we might listen to the words of all of the songs we sing. What do they mean? Have you sang them so many times that you're not hearing the call to live in a different way because Jesus did something incredible and amazing? Sing with Mary over the next couple of weeks. Listen for God's heartbeat in your Christmas carols. Because it's a heartbeat of justice, and a heartbeat of compassion, and a heartbeat of transformational love. Let us pray. Lord God, may we with Mary stand listening, expectant, with hope, and filled to the brim with joy this Christmas season. Amen.